says that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You got a measure of that God kind of faith in you, just like you got the love in you. Hallelujah. Say it. Say, I got faith in me. You got faith. You got a measure. You got a measure of that God kind of faith. That's how Jesus walked. He walked by faith. He pleased the Father. See, just him saying, I only want to do those things that please him, tell you right there, he walked in faith and love. Faith worketh by love. They go together. You can't separate them. Hallelujah. How else did he walk? He walked by the word. He lived by the word of God. He let the word of God saturate him. And that became a protection for him in times of testing and temptation. Right? Amen. Y'all remember Matthew 4:4? He said, the devil said, if you're the son of God. See, listen to this. See, the devil don't like that. If you're a son of God. See, I used to think that was God talking to me. I remember one time walking through the mall. I see somebody in a wheelchair. And I heard a voice say, if you was the son of God, you go over there and raise them up. And I didn't move. I didn't do nothing. I kept on about my business. But I was under condemnation. Just walked on out the mall. Maybe I should have went over there and prayed for him, asked if I could pray. But I come to find out that wasn't God. Because God knows whether I'm saved or not. The Lord ain't going to never come to you and say, if you my son. If is a doubt. If you my son, do this. He ain't going to talk to you that way. He know whether or not you his son or not. The devil came to Jesus and say, if you the son of God. He challenged him. If you the son of God, make this stone a piece of bread. What did Jesus say? It is written. See, that's what he lived by. So if we're going to walk like he walked, then we have to learn how to live and walk according to the word. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, natural things, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He said that's what man's supposed to live by. We're supposed to live by the word. Amen. Amen. That's why we call our radio program Living by the Word. Amen. It's what we're supposed to live by. We're supposed to live by the book. That's what we live by. We live by the word. Glory to God. Whatever the word say, we go along with it. Glory. If God call it sin, we call it sin. Glory to God. We just like him. Hallelujah. We walk just like him. How else did Jesus walk? Well, he walked with an anointing on him. He walked in the anointing. He had the gifts of the Spirit flowing in him. Hallelujah. Remember the woman at the well? Go call your husband. I don't have no husband. You have rightly said, for you've had five husbands, the one you're living with now is not your husband. What's that? That's a word of knowledge. Gifts of the Spirit. That's where you're supposed to walk. You're supposed to walk and let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit in your life and let those gifts of the Spirit come out of you. God wants to bless you. He wants to equip you for ministry. How else did Jesus walk? Well, I'm going to tell you something. He ministered to the needs of the people. He had compassion for people. Amen.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've
Hallelujah. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Eternal God, our Father, this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we come saying, even as the songwriter, even me, thanking you for your blessings, your multitude of blessings that overtake us and blesses our lives beyond measures. For that we say thank you this morning. And oh God, in a special way, we want to thank you for the special gift of motherhood. For God, we know that we are here through that great blessing of motherhood. And for all mothers everywhere, we say thank you. Now, Lord, take your word and unfold your word unto us. Reveal the truths that you desire us to know today. And give us power to practice these principles, that you might receive all of the praise, and then give us power to live victorious lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise for just being God? Amen. For just a little while this morning on this Mother's Day, we certainly thank God for, again, the wonderful gift that he has given to us. You know, I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you know, what you have, etc. You are here because of mother and that gift that God has given. And I don't care what mother may have done or may be, you need to know that she's a gift. And so we should honor her as the Lord has said in his word. I want you to look at Proverbs 31, and I want us to look at verses 1 through 9. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 1 of the 31st chapter. And it reads, "And the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." I want to speak for just a little while from the subject, the influence of a mother. The influence of a mother. It becomes conspicuously obvious as we open up the text and begin in the very first verse of this 31st chapter, how the influence of this mother had great impact upon her son, who is a king. Now, King Lemuel was one of the unknown kings. There's not much known about his historicity, although he is given credence as having been a king by the writer of the Proverbs. And these words, however, in a showcase of honoring mothers and the influence that they have within the lives of their children is given in this 31st chapter, as the proverb deals with a virtuous woman and a woman who offers much to her household. It was very fitting that in this chapter it would open up with a king who gives honor and glory to his mother for the influence that she made in his life and on his life. Amen. That even though he reached lofty places and had great power and prestige, he gives and credits his success to the lessons his mother taught him. Mothers, I don't believe you really realize sometimes the impact and the influence that you have in shaping and molding, guarding and guiding the life of your children. It's important to understand that though a father has a very particular role in the household and in the uprearing of the family, mother, by the grace of God and the gift of God in this 31st chapter, obviously has a role that shapes a life and influences a life beyond measure. Fathers, as I was reading through the scripture and looking at their roles in the household, generally had an impact on their children's lives, but mothers had an influence on their children's lives. It makes a difference in how you see and understand. When the children most times were impacted, it had much to do with some profound teaching or some profound point, principle, doctrine, or whatever by which they lived. And the father, every now and then, simply displayed or taught or shared these particular things that he, as the head of the household, would give to the children, of course, as the leader and as the head of the household, the wife, etc., etc., etc. But the mother had the daily hands-on, the daily ministering kind of ministry to the family. She was the one who attended to the scratches and the bruises and kissed the little bobos and made them well. She was the one who talked to them about their fears and their problems, their complaints and their concerns. She was the one who understood their cries and understood their tears. She was the one, when she heard the baby crying, knew that it was a cry either of hunger, a cry of pain, a cry of distress or discomfort, a cry of just nothingness. She was the one who could interpret all of those different things. She had the influence. Father would hear the baby cry and say, "What's wrong with that baby?" And she could tell him what was wrong without even going in there, because she had that influence and understood the needs of that child from an intricate and intimate concept beyond that of father's reach. And so when we look at this king who has now reached this lofty pedestal, he gives credit, he gives glory, and he gives honor to the teachings that his mother gave to him when he was a child. Can I tell you, when you have been influenced by your mother, I don't care how high up you get, you don't forget mom. It has behooved me for some years now, when fathers especially would have particular interest in the child's sports, especially the boys, you know, they're going, growing up and playing ball and this, that, and the other, and all that. They get these multi-million-dollar contracts. They get a first little glimpse of television, and the first thing they shout is, "Y'all got it. Hi, Mom!" Daddy's sitting on the sideline like, what did he say? You know, but the influence, you can't take that away. And mothers need to realize that what your children are or aren't is largely in part to what you share, what you give, and what you place in their paths for them to learn. When the Bible says, train up a child, it means that you have got to be the leader. You have got to be the one shaping and molding. You've got to be the one setting the goals and setting the guidelines. You've got to be the one who says what is right and what is not right. You can't let a child train up him or herself and then think that you can add your approval or disapproval to it. You've got to be the one who, again, in this structured setting, make the influential kind of decisions that will ultimately guide your child in the decisions of life. So look at the word, as you will. Verse 1, it says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." And then verse 2 says, "What, my son? And what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows?"
Give not thy strength unto women. And if you read this a little closer and get underneath these words and into the text, you're going to understand that his mother was warning him about loose women. This was not, when it says give thy strength to women, it didn't mean a woman or not share yourself and give yourself in the way that you should. But what her advice and with her suggestions to him was not to give himself to loose women. Anybody know what a loose woman is? Y'all looking mighty strange and getting kind of quiet. Well, what you need to understand about a loose woman is that a loose woman can never be a tight woman. She can't treat you right, she can't do you right when she's loose, because her whole objective is her own design. She has no morals. I mean, it doesn't matter what she do to get what she wants, she will do it to you and do it to somebody else, and on and on and on and on. A loose woman can do nothing but tear your heart apart and rip your life apart. So she warns him, and I thought about this, who better than a mother could tell you about a woman? The cunning, divisive, undermining, catty ways of a woman. Who better can tell you about what's real about a woman than a mother? Mother done played some games, maybe not down deep down in the gutter game, but she done played some mind games. She knows how to do certain things to turn her heart and her mind and her head and all of that. So she warns her son, and a good mother does that. Good mother tells her son, listen, baby, everything that shines ain't gold. And everything that make look like it's real ain't necessarily real. And a good mother knows how to, and that's why, brothers, that if you'll understand what King Lemuel is dealing with here, he's going back, and in the selection of his wife, he's going back on what mama shared with him. Because men who have sense enough to follow the directions of mother in this sense never, number one, entangles himself with a loose woman. And certainly, if he play with her, he certainly won't marry her. Now, if y'all get quiet on me again, I'm gonna think y'all got a problem here. It's one thing to look at it and say that looks good and handle it and play with it and stuff like that, but when you get through with it, you put it back because you know that ain't for you, because somebody else gonna play with it too. So he said, she says to him, don't give your strength. Because what you need to know is when you become one in that intimate setting, your strength is given. Why do you think Samson fell? Because somehow he didn't take into consideration the looseness of Delilah. And Delilah knew just how to twinkle her eyes and how to comfort him and touch him in a way that just gave him goosebumps and made him tell all his mind. And he gave his strength to her. And what did she do with it? She betrayed him with it. That's the nature of a loose woman. So he says, listen, give not thy strength unto women, loose women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Now, he is a king. And she's telling him there are just some things that kings don't do. There are just some things that when you have been elevated to a certain point in a certain place and a certain level of life, that you ought to act kingly. You can't act like common folk when you've been elevated to a king status. There are just some things you're going to have to let go. There are just some things you're not going to have to deal with because you are above certain things. And if you act like common folk when you're a king, you're going to wreck your kingship. And how many of you know and understand that leaders have got a call to go to a whole nother level of acting, not because they can't, but because they've been called to do certain things on a higher level? Yes, brothers and sisters, we're all human, but some of us have been given greater responsibilities in our humanity. And so she's telling him, as a king, you just got to act a certain way. You can't act like common folk and still be a king. You can walk with the common man without becoming common, but you cannot act like him and still be king. So listen to what she goes on to say. She says, again, verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, calling his name out, personalizing this thing. It is not for kings to drink wine. Now, good kings will not endeavor in things that will cause the slightest bit of changing of their opinions and or their belief systems or anything that will influence. Kings cannot afford to be inebriated. They cannot afford to be drunk. They cannot afford to have that feel-good feeling that takes them out of reality and out of touch with the equilibrium of their position, power, and their responsibility. They've got to be standing about things that concern the kingdom. So she was telling him, good kings don't drink. They don't use any substances that will in any way and any shape or any sense of the word cause an alteration to who they are and what decisions they may have to make. So notice what she goes on and she says. She says, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Verse 6 says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. Now, he was talking about giving strong drink for medicinal purposes, for medical purposes, for those who may have been sick and the pain was too much to bear. She was saying if they're about to die and that's their last little somewhat of a dampening of their pain and that kind of thing, then that's all right for that because they're on their way out of here anyhow. But it's not that kind of substance that should be used for those who are living life and those who are going about making decisions in life because it impairs your decisions. Notice what she's going on to say. She says, and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. Now, she's talking about this hearts. She's trying to help him see that people who drink and why they drink differ from any reason that he would have to drink. People who are down in the dump with the blues drink because they're trying to drink their troubles away. Folk who constantly say stay in a drunken stupor are people who are trying to forget about the problems and the oppresses and the depression that they suffer and these things that bring them to that point where it's not even worth living or being sane or sober to even think of the problems and the poverty that they now experience. And they'd rather be drunk as much as they can handle it. She says that's the kind of thing drunk as might happen with those who are on those levels. Now you see, one of the good things that I appreciate about this and I have studied about this was the fact that a good mother won't always tell you things that make you feel good.
That's right. That's right.
A good mother won't always tell you things that make you happy. But a good mother won't always tell you to be sober and to think and to use rationale and to be able to understand that choices bring about consequences and consequences are what you deal with after you make the choices. And it's these kind of things that I see in this book here and in these particular verses that blesses my heart, because if there ever was a time that the mothers of this day and time needed to understand the power of influence, with the enemy trying everything he can, especially with the black males, to destroy them and to deter them from the things that are right and those things that God has reserved for us, and we will never access them as a black group unless we've got the godly kind of mothers who will stand and teach and share and minister in these effective ways like God has given them that privilege. Think about it. Whose heart is hurt the most when a child goes astray? Who lays awake in the midnight hours with those children when they are out in the streets and can't be found? When they get in trouble and are incarcerated, who's the one that deals with the stresses and the pains and the mind searchings of where I went wrong with this child and dealing with all of those things? Who deals most with these kind of things? See, so what you need to realize is, mothers, that God has given you a great and awesome responsibility. Or you might not think you can do nothing with some of these children, but think again. God has given you the power of influence, and that's a great gift. And if you give up on your children, it's nobody's fault but your own. If you tell them they'll be nothing, they will 9 out of 10 times be nothing, because you have influenced them to become nothing. If you speak to them in a way and in a manner that brings them down and tears down their self-esteem and all of that they are building up or think of themselves, then you will become, or they will become rather, the product of what you have so indoctrinated them with. Mothers don't realize many times that when they tell a child they can be anything they want to be, especially when they are in the pseudo layers of life, down at the bottom in the ghetto, don't have much food or anything else provisions for them, and they tell them, listen, you don't have to be in the school or anything else, make something of yourselves. Many who are our nation's leaders now didn't come from rich and well-off homes with two-party families. They came from places that were broken and messed up, but that was a mother who had faith in God and believed that God could lead her to teach her children that there is a better and a brighter day ahead if they would look unto Jesus and apply themselves to life. The influence of what you offer to them, because you know what they know instinctively? That there is no other person on earth who truly loves and cares for me unconditionally like mother. Mother will tear your tail up 1 minute and just love you to death the next minute. You can be done the most damnable thing that you can think of. And when mother gets through scolding you and telling you about it, she's right there to love you and to tend to your needs. No matter who you are, what you are, mother loves you unconditionally. And so instinctively, when she says some things, you've got to realize that it influences the actions, the attitudes, the ambitions, and the activities of that child's life in such a way that if she would just positively continue to reinforce the good things that maybe not that she sees right now, but that she desires of that child right now. Speak those things not as though they were. Just keep telling the bad child, you're good. There's a lot of good in you. Don't yield to the evils of the world. You are better than that. Just keep speaking positive affirmations to them. And watch how they desire no longer to break your heart. Watch how they desire to fulfill and to mold themselves into that you expect of them. Watch how that influence will make a difference when mother tells a child, I love you. It goes all through them because it is real. And so when we look at this text today, she's telling him, listen, now when you get to where you are, don't think that you're bigger than nobody else. Just know that your position has given you the authority and the power to do something about some things that people who have not attained your position cannot do. Look at what she says. Open thy mouth, for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. She's saying, listen, when there are people less fortunate than yourselves who are done wrong and are pointed and appointed as to those who are less than life's worth and who are not worth even considering because God has elevated you, you be the one to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. You be the one to speak up for the little man. You be the one to say, listen, yes, I'm blessed, but we ought to do something about those who are less than blessed. You be the one who can fight their cause, speak their case, stand on their side, and represent them because God has blessed you to be in that position to do that. A mother who gave him that kind of neighborly concern about his fellow man. A mother who instilled in him the desire to help him help others. Look at this. Wrong is the mother who tries to make her child believe that he or she is all of that and nobody else is any of that. She does more damage to that child when she teaches that child to be selfish and totally inward perspective, have inward perspectives only of him or herself. She teaches that child how to do him or herself in terms of having a meaningful relationship with colleagues and other people unless they are at or above the same level than he or she is on. You've got to teach your children how to love everybody. Everybody. Why? Because as a child of God, that's your responsibility.
Yes.
That's your accountability. Because whether you know it or not, when you teach your child how to hate, that makes this world just a little bit less loving and a little less better to be in because you have taught your child something that's going to work its way right back to your doorstep. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you is what she was teaching them. And look at then what she says. Open thy mouth, judge what?
Righteously.
Pilate should have done that and listened if his mother had taught him that. Because if he had judged rightly, he never would have knowing right judgment. And how many of you know you can know right judgment and still not judge righteously? You can know what's right and still not do it. And so she was saying, as king, the power to make the right decisions is in your hand. The power to do the right thing is in your hand. You have got to be the one to do